Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. How are you this morning? I'm doing quite well. I was doing good and got better. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord praise this morning. He's right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And of course, you know, this is the student body of Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Amen. Oh, glory to God, a Bible college that's 3 years old. Little baby fella. And he's growing. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Oh, we thank you for your presence today. Let's open our Bibles once again to the book of Mark. Now, we went to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians and found there. Well, let's look at that quickly. We won't take a lot of time with it, but to bring us back to the place where we are right now. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Don't you ever forget that. I don't care how long you live. Don't ever forget that. You're not fighting people. Yes. It's not people. It isn't people. Yeah. Well, I must tell you this. One of my all-time heroes. James Johnson, Undersecretary of the Navy to Richard Nixon. And, Nori, his background, his dad was Watutsi. Son, you talk about some long, tall folks. I mean, And Johnny Johnson was a tall man. He wasn't as tall as Nori, but he was a tall man. And man, I got to go to the Philippines with him. I met President Marcos of the Philippines and prayed for him and all that. Johnny Johnson, he's in heaven today. I wanted to tell you this, but because Johnny understood this and he was a preacher of love. He wrote his autobiography, Beyond Defeat, that love is beyond defeat. Amen. You get online, you get somewhere, and you get that book, amen? And if you turn to the last page, Johnny Johnson, first black man to do this, first black man to do that, first black man to do this, first black man to do this, first black man to do this. I mean, it took two pages. This man's worth knowing. So is his dad. Now, they went into Johnny was just the little guy, and his first integrated school. And he was just about the only black kid there. And you can imagine that. I mean, man, this is way back there. And if I remember right, it was in Chicago. And those little white guys are just out there tearing him up. He came home crying. He said, Daddy, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Now, listen to this. He said, Johnny, now you have pity on those little boys. You love them. Because you see, that white skin lets too much sun through and their brains overheat. Some of these little boys, they say, boy, that little, his brain about to explode, as nasty as he is. So he just began to treat them all in sympathy. By the end of the year, he's the most popular boy in school. When they were having the race riots in the 7th Fleet, back when Mr. Nixon was president, he's assistant secretary of the Navy, and they sent him there into the middle of that. Now, we're still talking about spirits involved, not people. So, he landed in, in the Philippines. How many in the military? All right. Don't we know, Professor, that on a military airplane, the one in command comes off first? Yes, not everybody else, and then the one in command of that ship. I don't care if it's a ship, I don't care if it's an airplane, if it's a rowboat, and there's a master chief on that rowboat, he's off first. Well, the admiral was standing there, and to just let you know and add this to the mix, and we're still talking about spirits, not people. He was from the deep south. Well, he's standing there, and this black man got off. He didn't pay attention to him. And you know what he's thinking? Well, I don't understand why that guy got off. Where's the secretary? Everybody got off the airplane. Well, Johnny just walked right by him, looked at him and smiled, and the guy didn't salute. So he didn't dress him down. He just walked by him and then turned back around and just stood there. Very politely. So the admiral turns around and said, "Have you seen anything of the Secretary of the Navy, Secretary Johnson?" He said, "Sir, I'm Secretary Johnson." "You, how do I get my..." "Yeah, what?" "Oh." He still had no courtesy for him. "Oh, well, come on." Now, the worst problem was on the USS Forrestal. So that's the first place they took Secretary Johnson. And they ask him, say, "Mr. Johnson, what are you going to say to these?" He said, "I'm not going to say anything to them. I'm going to preach to them, if that's all right. They don't need preaching." So he went around to the fantail of the ship. That's the back end of the ship. Just in case you wondered where the fantail... Anyway. And all this group of sailors are here in front of him. And guess what his text was? The book of 1 John. And he talked about loving one another. And he taught love to those sailors. And this one young sailor just broke down and just began to weep. "Oh, Mr. Johnson, please forgive me." "What?" He said, "What's the matter with you, son?" He said, "I hit that white boy in the head with a pipe, and he's in the dispensary, and I don't want him to die." It just got all over me right then. He said, "I don't want him to die, please. Oh, come on, could we go down there? Could we go down there and pray for him?" So a handful of them, couldn't hold a lot of them at one time, get in there. Secretary Johnson and this young boy, this young sailor, stood there around that other young sailor's bed, and he was in bad shape. Boy, I mean, he hit him in the head with a pipe. And that young man's just crying his eyes out. "God, don't let him die. Don't let him die." Johnny Johnson had more miracles in his life than any preacher I know. And I know a lot of preachers. Now, I'm talking about in volume. I'm talking about in outright, absolute, impossible situations, things that make you shake your head. That young man, they laid hands on this young man, and God healed him. That began the revival in the Seventh Fleet, and it spread throughout the Seventh Fleet, and the calmness and the peace of God came. Now, he had to go right back the final dinner at the admiral's table. Admiral is always at the head of the table, as he should be. Secretary Johnson to his right. go around the corner of the table. Secretary Johnson's here. They had dinner. The admiral's very pleased because things worked out right. Patton paid a bit of attention to Secretary Johnson till right at the end of it. Are you ready for this? He got up, put his chair under the table, walked around to Secretary Johnson, got down on his knees, and said, "Please, sir, forgive me." Love never fails. I said, love never fails. He had the authority to dress that admiral down. He had the authority to put him in his place and put him on his knees. But had he done so, the admiral would have hated him for life. And it certainly wouldn't have done the admiral any good, and it wouldn't have done Johnny any good, and they would have lost that ride, maybe lost the ship. There's more at stake here than one man's reputation. Because Johnny Johnson, I knew him personally, talked to him on the phone, and spent time with the man. And he just amazed me every time I was in contact with him. Amen. Understood the law of love. And he used it as a weapon. Hallelujah. So now, let's go back where we were in the book of Daniel. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me for not marking that. I got excited and didn't do it. I'm wasting your time. Daniel chapter 10. Now look, verse 12. He said unto me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand," and we went through all of this. And now notice he said in verse 20, "Lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." I want you to see the activity of these high-ranking spirits. So now, back to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Now, you have all of this in your thinking right now? So, all right, now here we are again. They came over the other side of the sea to the country of the Gadarenes, of the other side of the Galilee. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man, one man with an unclean spirit. One unclean spirit. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Now listen, he wasn't a big man. He's emaciated. He's a cutter. He doesn't sleep. Remember Samson. We studied Samson. Samson wasn't a big man. It wasn't because of his size. It was the size of his God. Amen. 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 No, not with chains, because that he had been often bound in fetters or shackles. And chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. It didn't just break them. It tore them up. Broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. He was a cutter. Anyone watching today, your child, or maybe you yourself, you're a cutter. You have to cover up your sleeves because you cut yourself. You know, hey, there's deliverance for you today. Amen. There's deliverance right now. Maybe you have tracks in your arm where you've been shooting up. Listen, those can disappear while we're talking. Those are chains and fetters, but brachesta kroko, free today in the name of Jesus. Did you say? When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. If there was any man that the devil could have kept from worshiping Jesus, would have been this one, but he couldn't control him. He couldn't do anything about it. He fell on his face, and Jesus delivered him just like that. And he'll deliver you today just like that.
Amen.
Just like that. Just like that.
Well, Brother Copeland, what about when Jesus said, this devil comes out by prayer and fasting?
That's not what he said. He said, this kind comes out. What kind? That kind of unbelief.
Yes.
Why couldn't you cast him out? We couldn't cast him out because of your unbelief. This kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus already prayed. He prayed. He's already fasted. He's prayed up.
Amen.
But he wondered, no devil responds to fasting. If that devil had responded to fasting, Daniel wouldn't have had any trouble.
Amen.
It's not the fasting that does it. Fasting doesn't change God. He doesn't change. Fasting changes you. Fasting prepares your spirit. Actually, what it does is put your flesh under where you can hear your spirit. It's that simple. And you just, when you get over into that place, ooh, I've been there, where God can whisper at you and it sounds like he's blowing a horn, you know, hallelujah. You just come up from there ready to do whatever it takes. Amen. So now, I want you to see this. Always night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself a stone. When he saw Jesus, woo! Now listen, when they saw the giant, when that devil saw Jesus, whoa! Oh! When they saw the giant, they ran and it stopped them. When that devil saw Jesus, he just fell on his face and worshiped Jesus. He saw the man. He saw my man, Jesus. Amen. My man, Jesus. I have a question for you. Was Jesus a white man? No, he was not. He's a Middle Eastern Jew. He's a dark-skinned man. So in your mind, when you see Jesus, don't be looking at a white Jesus. He's a dark-skinned man. And a Jew to beat. And would have a very difficult time being a member in good standing in most Pentecostal churches. Not most, I can't say that. But a lot of them. He's dark-skinned. He's a Jew, and he casts out devils.
Amen.
And really has this thing about healing. And he believes it hasn't passed away because he hasn't passed away, and he is healing.
Hey.
It's shouting time on Wednesday. Like Brother Hagin used to say, if you can't shout over this, don't shout over some old unbelieving song. Like, spare me nothing that you bore for me on the cross, but it'll make me closer to you. Hallelujah. That is actually a song embalmed with unbelief. And there was a guy back in the olden days that every time I came to the church, he'd stand up and sing that. And the pastor said, I've been trying to tell that fool not to sing that anymore. And so the next time I came and he stood up and said, spare me. No, I just walked up there. I said, go on, brother, sit down. What? I said, sit down. Spare me nothing. You're not qualified. Huh? I said, you're not qualified to bear what he bore. Now, shut your mouth and sit down. He probably didn't sing that anymore, I hope. I didn't say it that loud, but I was meaner looking when I said it. I meant every word. Amen. And back in those days, sometimes the Lord said to me back then, He said, I have a sleeping giant in the land. And I knew He was talking about the Pentecostal church. And He said, I'm going to wake them up. I said, glory to God. I did just like you did. And He said, you're the needle. I said, what? 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 That needle in anointing, it's all right when it was on. But brother, you walk out and you say, dear Lord. And some people said, you know, he has mellowed over the years. No, you woke up.
Amen.
There you go. All right. That's good.
Amen. Now, you may have to use your needle anointing, but you use it in love. Amen. When you're pastoring a church, don't chew out the people that are there because there are people that are not there. Yeah. Don't chew them out. Chew the ones out that didn't come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how am I going to do that? You mean you don't have a staff? What do you mean, Brother Copeland? There is such thing called visitation.
Yeah.
Now, how many of you are interested in being pastors? Okay, hold your hands up there. You're not the counselor. You're not the visitor. You're the boss.
Yeah.
You don't have any business running around all over town begging people to come to church. You can put your hand there. Don't be doing that. Unless you start the church, you're the only one. No, you win you somebody to the Lord and you anoint them, put your hands on them, and you go out and teach them how to visit.
Amen.
And you do it in faith and you do it in love. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you're called into a church that's already established, you may have some, it could possibly be a deacon-possessed church. So you have to, well, now I said that kindly, but there are those churches that are just deacon possessed. The pastor's not allowed to have any thought of him on his own. I don't understand it. I don't understand you, Pastor. Now I'm deacon and Sunday school superintendent. Really? And I don't understand it. What is it you don't understand?
Well, you come out there all the time. You come out there and you just visited Brother So-and-so five times. Because you don't ever come visit me.
Shut up, baby. You go visit him. I said, you go visit him. Right now. That's the needle. Wake up, you baby. Don't you ever put anybody, I'm out of time. Don't you ever put anybody on the deacon board because you got a good financial rating. We're out of time. See you tomorrow. Jeremy, help.
Thank you, Papa. When you live every day of your life in Christ Jesus, you become unstoppable to the enemy. Jesus continues to give you His victory over any and every situation. Now, we saw today that the battle is the Lord's, and it has been won already in the Spirit. And when you approach life seeing things through the eyes of your covenant positioned in Christ Jesus, you will be able to reinforce His victory and always come out on top. Now, in this week's broadcast, Brother Copeland is teaching at the Kenneth Copeland Bible College on the grounds of KCM. Now, if you've been watching this and you picture yourself sitting there in that auditorium as he was teaching, then just take the next step. Visit kcbiblecollege.org and see if KCBC is where God is calling you.
My experiences at KCBC over the past few years have been awesome. Discovering the calling and purpose and God has put in my life. It's been great. It's been life-changing for sure.
Over these past 2 years, there's been things that have been added to me that the Lord's going to be able to use and I will be able to put into practice.
We are being taught on how to live our life on a daily basis, every day in the Word, to just completely focus on God, that He's fulfilled everything.
Every person you meet is constantly pouring into you, whether it's your other students, whether it's faculty, pastors, everyone's constantly pouring into you, and it's just been awesome.
this school has taught me the Word of God, and nothing can stop me. I'm ready to go out and love on people, and the love of God has just been poured into us so much. We're not the same people we were when we walked in those doors.
Discover your calling. Go to kcbiblecollege.org and apply today. The world will constantly try to bombard your mind with thoughts.
The economy is down. We won't have enough. What if I get sick? This disease is incurable. The world is so dangerous, there's no place to be safe.
But God has empowered you to come up higher, to think how He thinks and speak how He speaks, so you can live in faith and victory. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Speak out God's promises. Release the force of faith and see things change. For over 5 decades, Kenneth Copeland has taught faith and living by the Word of God. In his 4-message teaching, The Spirit of Faith, you'll learn how your faith-filled words of life dominate the world's broken system of sin and death. Take the abundant life Jesus gave to you and receive by faith everything you have need of. Put the spirit of faith into action that brings God's covenant promises into your life.
Release the force of faith by speaking the Word of God to your circumstances. You can have what you say in faith. Go to kcm.org/victory offer or call 877-615-4267 and request your free copy of The Spirit of Faith, available on MP3 disc from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Our free product offer this week is The Spirit of Faith. It's an audio series by Kenneth Copeland. In this teaching, you're going to learn how to let the Holy Spirit give you the image of God's Word in your heart. Now, why is that important? It's because the reality of that Word in your heart turns into revelation. And then you begin to speak faith, and that's when things begin to change. You learn how to make faith your everyday lifestyle, something you do on purpose every day, living by faith and speaking by faith. These things will touch every part of your life. And faith comes one way, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So get this teaching and keep your faith going strong. Request your free copy on kcm.org. And then tomorrow, Brother Copeland teaches how faith is always expecting and how that spiritual force prepares for what it expects. So if you don't like what you see going on around you, then the question to ask is, what were you expecting? Change your expectation, and that's when things begin to change around you. Thanks so much for watching today, everybody. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Today's Believer's Voice of Victory was brought to you by the faithful partners and friends of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Go to kcm.org/victory offer to download or request your free copy of today's broadcast. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Rise up in faith and boldness, and live in the power of God.